My subject tonight is the resurrection. The resurrection. From 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. And I'd like to read the first four verses. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. Now, I pulled my glasses out, but I'm going to leave them off. I ain't going to pull them off and put them on. I can see better without them than I can with them. But as the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, now the church at Corinth was a Gentile church, or we would say a Greek church. And there were some difficult times that Corinth had. They were kind of on the worldly side. And they were not as religious as perhaps they should have been. But being a pagan society, we can look at it from that standpoint. But as we talk about the resurrection tonight, as we say, Corinth was a Greek city, and the Greeks did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. Now just think about that. They didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead, and didn't believe too much of anything when it came to God. But when Paul preached at Athens, you'll remember he declared the fact of Christ's resurrection, and some of his listeners in Acts, the 17th chapter and 32, actually laughed at him when he talked about the resurrection. And then there were some that said, we want to hear more about this matter. But they didn't believe in the resurrection, and so they mocked him. Did that stop Paul from teaching on the resurrection? No. Most Greek philosophers consider the human body a prison. And they welcome death as deliverance from bondage. And this skeptical attitude had somewhat invaded the church. And Paul had to face this matter head on. And so Paul, under inspiration, began to talk about the resurrection in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. But as we notice now, the truth of the resurrection had doctrinal and practical implications for the life that was too important to ignore. Paul dealt with the subject by answering four basic questions. Question number one, are the dead raised? In 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 19, he answered that question. Then arose question number two, when are the dead raised? 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 through 28, he dealt with the second question. Then the third question, why are the dead raised? Well, 1 Corinthians 15, 29 through 34, he dealt with that question. And then he drops over to verses 49 through 58. And number four, how are the dead raised? And in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verses 35 through 48, he answers that question. So he dealt with all four of the questions that had been asked by members of the church there at Corinth. And that's what 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, is all about. Now, many desire to know the answer to these questions that are important to people of all ages. People of every age have asked those questions that are touched by death on a daily basis. God's word has the answer. Again, 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, referred to as the great resurrection chapter of the Bible. The peoples of Paul's day, like we today, are still asking these same questions. Have you ever had anyone to ask you where the dead? Why are they going to be raised? What are they going to be like when they're raised? I've had these questions asked by members of the body of Christ in classes time after time. And you know why they ask them? Because they don't understand the resurrection. But we can go to the scripture. The Bible gives us the assurance that there will be not only a resurrection, but there's going to be a bodily resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul said this so corruptible is going to pull off corruption and put on incorruption. And this mortal is going to pull off mortality and going to put on immortality. And death is going to be swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory? But thanks be unto God that giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We will be resurrected because of what Jesus has done. And he was resurrected, and we shall be resurrected as well. Now, in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, Paul mentions the resurrection again. And he shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel, and the dead in Christ shall be raised first. Then we that are alive shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. So comfort ye one another with these words. So it is rather startling now to discover how many today have not comprehended the Bible teaching on this subject of the resurrection. God's word declared that our vile bodies will be changed in Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. It will be changed and will be fashioned like unto his glorious body, and we will be resurrected, just like Jesus the Christ. Now, but in the heavenly abode, we will definitely have spiritual bodies. Now, I don't know what they'll be like, but John said that they're going to be like Jesus. Whatever body that Jesus has, we're going to have a body just like his. Every Christian should read 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, often, because the resurrection should thrill our thoughts, and it should come and cause us to prepare for eternity. Are you preparing for eternity? Do you know much about the resurrection? Do you know anything about the resurrection? Are you looking forward to the resurrection? Do you know anything about the resurrection of Jesus? Do you know that he did rise the third day? Now, I understand that somebody this morning talked about his death, somebody talked about his burial. And that's good, but without my subject, the resurrection, the other two wouldn't have done no good. So I'm so glad that he did resurrect. He was raised from the dead. And every Christian need to understand that. Now, the Bible doctrine of resurrection is not exclusive to the New Testament. I want you to think about that. Look at Isaiah, the 26th chapter, and verse 19. It was first made evident in the Old Testament. No, they didn't understand resurrection like we do now that we have the New Testament and after the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. But they did understand that there would be a resurrection. So Isaiah 26, 19, he said, your dead will live. Their bodies, corpses, will be raised. And then you remember Abraham in Hebrew 11 in verse 10. He said he waited for the city which had a foundation whose builder and maker was God. He was talking about the heavenly city. And he recognized that he was going to have to die and was going to have to be buried and was going to be resurrected at the second coming of Jesus Christ, and it was going to the heavenly city that he knew that God had prepared. Now David, on one occasion, gives us a glimpse that there would be a resurrection in 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 23. David, speaking of his son, said, but now he is dead. You know, David was fasting when his son was alive, but he said, now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? Or shall I go to him? But he shall not return to me. So David recognized that he was going to have to die if he wanted to see his son again. Daniel said in Daniel 12 and verse 2, and many of those that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some unto everlasting life, and some unto everlasting contempt. So Daniel recognized that there was going to be a resurrection. And so it is in the teaching of the New Testament that we get a clear picture revealing the bodily resurrection of Jesus as well as the bodily resurrection of man. Let's look at a few passages. Jesus taught a bodily resurrection. Over in John 11 and verse 25, Jesus spoke to Martha, the sister of Lazarus, and he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Now that's what Jesus said. Not only that, but you remember in John the 5th chapter, verses 28, 29, Jesus said, for the hour is coming, and all that are in the tomb of the grave will hear his voice and will come forth. Those that have done good unto everlasting life, and those that have done evil to condemnation. So you can see that they believed in a resurrection. When you go to Revelation, the 20th chapter, beginning with verse 11 through verse 13, John said, I saw the dead, both small and great, stand before God. And a book was opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And they were judged out of the things that are written in the book. And whosoever name was not written in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake that burned with fire and brimstone. That's going to be a resurrection. And there's going to be a judgment. And there's going to be a departing. Whether you go where Jesus is or whether you go where Satan is, all depends on you and the way you live your life in this life. And so we live our life because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's look at another. Now, the gospel of Christ consists of the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And that's why Paul said, "For I delivered unto you," 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verse 3 and 4. "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which also I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the scripture." Now, we wouldn't know that if we didn't have the word of God, would we? But because we got the word of God, you see, we know and we believe, we put our faith in Jesus as the resurrected Lord. Now, when Jesus walked this earth, he spoke these words in Matthew 22 and verse 32. "God is not the God of the dead, but of the living." You see, he ever lives to make intercession for us. He got up out of the grave after being in there 3 days and three nights. Now, there's a lot of things that I want to tell you tonight about Jesus. When Jesus said, "I will build my church," do you know that was predicated upon his resurrection from the dead? Everything that we have in Jesus Christ is centered around his resurrection. If Jesus had never been resurrected, he couldn't have done any of the things that he promised unto us. But thank God that he was resurrected. And so the bodily resurrection of Jesus is one of the most substantial truths in history. Anything that you read from a scriptural point of view mostly deals with the resurrection of Jesus some way, somehow, somewhere. And so we find that the tomb of Christ remained empty and unexplained unless he did in fact arise from the dead and bodily ascended back to heaven. You remember the women that went to the tomb, and when they got there, they recognized that his body was not there. And was it not one of the men that was at the tomb said, "He is not here because he has risen"? And then the tomb was empty. They looked for the body, but they couldn't find the body because Jesus had got up. Now, the grave clothes was there, but the body had been resurrected. Jesus had gone. And then he even told the ladies to tell his disciples to meet him in Galilee. That was after his resurrection. That's proof that Jesus was alive again after he had been in the grave 3 days. But not only that, Jesus walked with them for 40 days. In Matthew, the 28th chapter, and verse 18, when he got up out of the grave, Jesus told the disciples, "All authority has been given unto me now in heaven and in earth." Why did Jesus have all authority in heaven and in earth? Because he had proved that he was the Son of God. And how did he prove that? By the resurrection from the dead, according to Romans 1 and verse 4. And now he tells the disciples, "I want you to go and I want you to preach the gospel to every creature, to all nations." And what were they going to preach? "I want you to preach the gospel. I want you to preach my death, my burial, my resurrection, my ascension, my exaltation, my lordship. I'm ruling and reigning because God has given me all authority in heaven and in earth, and have set me on his right hand on David's throne. In just a moment, we get to Acts chapter 2. We're going to prove that Jesus was seated on David's throne, on the right hand of God in heaven. And that was the lesson that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's where the power of the gospel is tonight, in the resurrection of Jesus. If Jesus had not been resurrected, the gospel wouldn't have no power, and we couldn't be saved by believing that Jesus is the Christ. But it is through the resurrection that have brought power to us, and we can believe what Jesus said and who he said he was. And so tonight, I believe in the resurrection. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, you remember Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I know the power of his resurrection. So you remember when Jesus had walked with the disciples, and you remember when they went to the city, and just before Jesus ascended, as Jesus was teaching them in Acts chapter 1, you know, Jesus told them, "Now I want you to go into Jerusalem, and I want you to stay there until you be endued with power from on high." And he was going to send back the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, to them on that day of Pentecost, which was going to come. But then while Jesus was there talking with them, in verse 9 of Acts chapter 1, and there were two angels there, two men in white apparel, and as Jesus was speaking unto them, he stepped on the cloud and ascended out of their sight. And they were standing there gazing into heaven, and remember the two men in white apparel, I believe they were angels, and they said, "Ye men of Galilee, why do you stand here gazing into heaven? For that same Jesus that you have seen ascend, he's going to descend in the like manner." One day Jesus is coming back again on the cloud. And so they confirmed that. But then they did go into Jerusalem. And when they went into Jerusalem, you know, they went to the upper room. And then they all assembled. And while they were assembling, the very thing that Jesus had told them that was going to happen, it did happen. There came from heaven the sound of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all of the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them the apostles, clothed and tongued like as a fire, and set upon each of them. Now this is after the 40 days. And then after Jesus stepped on the cloud and went back to heaven and was there 10 days, then this event began to take place, because this is Pentecost, the 50th day, seven Sabbaths after the resurrection of Jesus, and the one day, that's seven times seven was 49. One day made 50. That was the day of Pentecost. On the first day of the week was on the day of Pentecost, the birth of the church. But they couldn't preach the birth of the church after 40 days, because Jesus had not taken his place on the right hand of God. And so they had to wait until 10 more days, which was the 50th day, the day of Pentecost. And so now, exactly what Jesus told them that was going to happen, it is happening now on the day of Pentecost. And there were people that were gathered at Jerusalem for that day. And do you know that there were 17 different nationalities there? And they were all there for the feast of Pentecost. And God had selected Peter to preach the gospel. But let me go back to Matthew the 16th chapter, because we got to get that resurrection in here before that gospel could be preached. Everything is centered around the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So in verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, remember, he asked his disciples, said, who do men say that I am? And they began to say, well, some say that you are Jeremiah, some say you're Elijah, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're just one of the prophets. But then Jesus turned and asked them a direct question, who do you say that I am? And you know, Peter said, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And you remember what Jesus said? Flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you, Peter, but it was my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you, Peter. Now remember, Peter said, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't reveal it. You didn't get it from man. But where did you get it? You got it from God. It came from heaven. Through revelation, inspiration, Peter, that I am the Christ. Peter said, you are the Son of the living God. When Peter said that, in his confession, that was the bedrock foundation upon which Jesus was going to build the church. But Jesus said, now flesh and blood didn't reveal it unto you, but it was my Father which was in heaven. And I say unto you, Peter, you are the Christ. Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then you know what Jesus tells him? Peter, you have told the truth. This confession that you have made, this is the confession upon which I'm going to build my church. But I got to prove something before I can build it. Therefore, the gates of hell shall not prevail against what you have said, that I am the Christ, I'm the Son of the living God. But I'm going to have to prove it, Peter. And in order for me to prove it, I'm going to have to die. But I'm also going to have to get up. And don't you remember that Jesus had already taught in his teaching in John chapter 2. He told them that you can destroy this temple, but in 3 days, I'm going to raise it up. They thought he was talking about the literal temple there in Jerusalem. But Jesus was talking about his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And now he said unto Peter, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. What is the kingdom? It's the church. I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. I'm going to give you the gospel to the church. I'm going to give you this gospel. And I want you to preach it, because whatever is preached on earth is going to be preached in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Heaven and earth had to agree dealing with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. See, God had endorsed Jesus before time began. Somebody was going to have to come down here and die. And you remember in Ephesians chapter 3, in God's eternal purpose. And you remember in Acts chapter 13. And you remember in Acts chapter 2. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 2 now, because Peter is ready to preach the gospel. And I'm trying to reach my conclusion. I've been trying to reach my conclusion ever since I started. And one of these days I'm going to reach it. But chapter 2, look what Peter said. Beginning in verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man to prove of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determined counsel and the foreknowledge of God, you have taken, and by wicked hands you've crucified and slain. Do you know that this was in God's eternal purpose? From the book of Ephesians, from the book of Isaiah, from the book of Colossians, from the book of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. When I go to Revelation chapter 5, they wanted to know that something is happening. But God, in his eternal purpose, they had talked, the Word, the Spirit, and God the Father had said, in heaven before the world began, somebody is going to have to go down and going to have to die, going to have a literal body to offer up on the cross as a living sacrifice that is without blot and without blemish. Somebody got to do it. Who's going to do it? In Acts, the 13th chapter, the lot falls on Jesus. Jesus Christ is born of a virgin. Isaiah, the 7th chapter, talked about a virgin would be born. Jesus now is the Word before he's incarnated. But in order to bring the promises true, for him to build the church, for him to give us salvation and fulfill all of the promises that he made through Abraham in Genesis 12, somebody have got to die. Somebody have got to offer up their body as a sacrifice on the cross. Read the book of Hebrews. Somebody have got to do it. In Revelation 5, when John said he looked in heaven, earth, and beneath the earth, and he began to weep because there was nobody that was worthy to take the seven seals out of the hand of God as he sat on the throne. And you remember one of the elders told him, weep not, for there is one. And who is that one? It's Jesus, the Lord of David. Isn't that what Peter preached on the day of Pentecost? And so now, this is what verse 23 said. Him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God. That determined counsel is the meeting that the Godhead had. And the lot fell on Jesus that somebody was going to have to die. And so Jesus now is born of the virgin in order to fulfill Isaiah. Second chapter, he came, the seventh chapter, came down, was born of the Virgin Mary. And he grew up, lived 33 years here on the earth, and never committed a sin. And finally, he went to the cross. They crucified him, as they said they would in Isaiah 53. He went to that cross. And on that cross, Jesus shed his blood for the remission of sin, gave his body as a sacrifice because the blood of bulls and goats would no longer suffice. And so now, here Jesus is. Now, not only did Jesus give his blood on the cross to redeem the souls of men, but he did it also to buy the church in Acts 20 and 28. Unto the elders, he said, take heed first to yourselves and over the flock over which the Holy Spirit have made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So Jesus purchased the church. Everything that Jesus had promised to do, he had to die on that cross went to that grave and stayed 3 days. Some said that he wouldn't get up, but he did get up the third day morning. And now this is the gospel that Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost. Peter began to preach that gospel. Peter stood up with the 11, and he began to talk about the prophecy that David had made in the Old Testament. But then, you notice what he says about David in the Old Testament. If you look at verse 22, ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles, wonders, and signs, the same thing he said. And then he goes on to say, now him being delivered by the determined counsel and the foreknowledge of God, look at verse 24, whom God hath what? Raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David spake concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. And therefore did my heart rejoice, and the tongue, my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will I suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life, and thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriotic David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, speak of the resurrection of Christ. Do you see that? That his soul should not be left in hell or Hades, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus has God raised up. Wherefore we all witness. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed for this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he said himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make the foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all of the house of Israel, those were those people that were gathered there on the day of Pentecost, let all of the house of Israel know assuredly that that same Jesus whom you crucified with your wicked hands, what has happened now? Therefore, let all of the house of Israel know assuredly that God have made that same Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They don't hear the gospel now. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They had heard what they needed to hear, that there was a Savior. And that Savior was in the person of Jesus Christ. And Peter had preached unto them everything that David had said in the Psalms about Jesus. And now when they heard this, they said, men and brethren, what must we do in order to be saved? And you know what Peter told him? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins. You want the remission of your sins? You want to be forgiven tonight? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? That he is the Son of the living God? Did not he prove it according to Romans 1:4 by the resurrection from the dead? He proved it with power. There's power in the resurrection of Jesus. So he got up Do you believe this? This is what Peter is saying to those people that are hip crucified. You got to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. If you want the remission of your sin, put your faith in Jesus, the one that you crucified, the one that died, was buried, and is resurrected, and tonight he's seated on the right hand of God. Now you know this because you know it's not David. David is still in the grave. They believed it with all of their heart. And he said, now repent and be baptized, every one of you, by the authority in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Father promises unto you, to your children, and to them that are far off, even as the many as the Lord our God shall call. And many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this unto generation. They that gladly received the word were baptized. And that day was added unto them about 3,000 souls. Verse 47 said, they were praising God, having favor with all of the people. And the Lord added unto the church daily such as one were being saved. My friend, you got to believe in the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ if you want the remission of your sins. And now when you believe that, you got to repent of your sins. You got to confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then you got to go down in the watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sins. And when you come up out of the watery grave of baptism, you're a new creation in Christ. See, but I got to believe that Jesus died, that he was buried and resurrected. And I believe that he's on the right hand of God tonight. And that's why I believe that he has all authority, according to Ephesians 1, 22, 23, and Colossians 1, 18 and 19. You see, Jesus is the resurrected Lord. Do you believe that tonight? As we stand and sing the song of invitation, if you need to respond to the gospel call, you can do that tonight. You can come and give Victor your hand, give God your heart, be buried with him in baptism, and you'll come up a new creation as we stand.